Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's meeting. I'd like to begin with an acknowledgement that we're joining you today from the territories of the Coast Salish peoples and the Tsawwassen First Nation, and we're grateful for their stewardship of our lands. My name is Anton Boatman. I am one of the commissioners of the British Columbia Electoral Boundaries Commission. I'm also the province's chief electoral officer. Please allow me to introduce my fellow commissioners. On my left is Linda Tynan, commissioner and local government advisor. On my right is Nitya Iyer. She's chair of the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission and the BC Supreme Court Justice. I'd like to begin with a quick overview about who we are and what we're here to do. We're an independent and nonpartisan commission created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires commissions like ours to review electoral districts after every second provincial general election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of electoral districts and make proposals for change. The way that we do this is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic, and that's the purpose of today's meeting. After this first round of public consultations, we will publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations. We hope to do that by early fall of 2022. We will then have a second round of public meetings asking for your input on any proposed changes. Following that, we will write our final report and recommendations. And this final report, of course, will also be public. It must be submitted by April of 2023. Ultimately, the BC Legislative Assembly decides on whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. So what are some of the factors that we will consider when we're making these recommendations? They are set out in the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. Our governing principle is representation by population. In order to achieve representation by population, we must consider geographic factors like accessibility and size of an electoral district boundaries. We must also consider a number of demographic factors, such as population numbers, the rate of growth, and various communities of interest within electoral districts. We also need to consider means of communication and transportation within electoral districts. We must ensure that each electoral district is within the 25% of the population average of an electoral district, which is around 57,000 persons. But we can exceed this range if we consider it necessary for us to achieve effective representation in a district. There are currently 87 electoral districts in British Columbia, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 additional electoral districts for a maximum total of 93. If you wish to make a presentation at today's meeting, you will need to sign in at the registration table near the entrance so that we can call you. I currently have 2 individuals, Mr. John Yap and Mr. Aleem Varmal, listed for presentations to the Commission. I would like you to all know that we are audio recording all of these public meetings, and we will make them available on our website, which is www.bcebc.ca. If you make a presentation, your name and community will be listed with the meeting recording. If you're interested to know more about the privacy policy behind these audio recordings, it is listed on our website with additional detail. Again, www.bcebc.ca. For consistency purposes, we're asking that presenters generally limit their presentations to around 10 minutes. We encourage you, however, to send us a copy of your presentation through our website. When we have heard from all presenters, I will close the meeting. This morning, we're anticipating taking a short recess at or around 10:15 if the hearing lasts that long. I will now begin with calling presenters. When I call your name, please come up to the chair at the front of the table and speak into the microphone. It's very important that we have the audio for the audio recording. Our first presenter this morning is Mr. John Yap.
Justice Iyer, commissioners, good morning. I also want to acknowledge that we are on the unceded traditional territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam First Nation. I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. This is vital work. It's work that supports democracy, and as all of us have been following in news reports, democracy is facing serious challenges around the world, and we've all, I'm sure, seen the stark images of democracy under attack in Eastern Europe. So what you're doing helps to underpin our democratic process here in British Columbia, and I do appreciate it as a Canadian, as a British Columbian. I recall speaking to the last Electoral Boundaries Commission some years ago. And at that presentation, I made a pitch for the commission to consider for my community, Richmond, the creation of what was then three Richmond electoral districts, creation of four. And I was pleased to see that that recommendation was followed through with the creation of four electoral districts, of which three are Richmond-only electoral districts, and one a combined district with the city of New Westminster, Queensborough, of that municipality. Today, I'm advocating that we continue with four electoral districts, and I would ask the Commission to consider four Richmond-only ridings. And I'd like to provide a few reasons for why I believe that Richmond is ready to be fully represented through four Richmond electoral districts. Richmond continues to experience rapid growth. We've all seen the numbers, and we see it when we travel around this community. To get here this morning, I had to make my way along Capstan Way, and I noticed that even in the few weeks that I had not been through this neighborhood, that more towers have been completed, and more are on the planning stages for our community, especially in the central part of Richmond. But generally through Richmond, we're seeing tremendous growth of population within migration of people from outside of British Columbia and from within British Columbia who want to come and live and work in Richmond. Richmond, of course, is the home of YVR, International Airport, a major economic driver for British Columbia and for Canada, and a source of employment for so many thousands of people right here in Richmond and for the region. Queensborough is a distinct community with its own distinct character. And of course, for generations has been part of the New Westminster municipal structure. People living in Queensborough would, by convenience, access their services across the river in New Westminster, and there's, of course, the travel that's involved, which discourages people living in Queensborough. It can take 20-25 minutes if there's no traffic to come to the center of Richmond where services are. So over time, Queensborough has been very much a distinct community, part of municipally, from a community perspective, part of New Westminster. And of course, in terms of school district, part of the new Westminster School District. So combining two communities that are from different municipalities is not fully ideal, and I would recommend to the Commission consideration as you look at how you can work with the electoral boundaries, consider the creation of of four ridings, four electoral districts that include only Richmond municipality communities. I believe that this would be appropriate and would enhance effective representation by having four members of the legislature that would represent a district within the city of Richmond, and that I believe would benefit the residents of Richmond, and that is my recommendation. If you look at the numbers, Commissioner Bogman mentioned that the average is about 57,000 per riding, and as we speak, Richmond officially has a population of 221,000 voters, I understand, and that is a number that continues to grow. So I believe that if we have, if you see yourself, you see, if you're able to recommend and that is accepted, that would be appropriate for our community, and that's my recommendation. I hope you will give it due consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. It's always great for us to hear from community residents that can speak to the unique character of their community, some of the factors that went on historically regarding electoral boundaries, about issues that are current today, including the rapid growth and other unique characteristics of the Richmond area. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to call the second presenter, Aleem Barmal, please.
Good morning, and I want to also thank you very much for the very important and critical work that you do as commissioners of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. I want to thank you this morning for this opportunity to discuss with you ensuring that equality and fairness, especially for people of color, be a key consideration as you set BC's electoral boundaries for the next election. My name is Aleem Barmal. I'm a human rights lawyer at the BC Human Rights Clinic, operated by the Community Legal Assistance Society of BC. Although I'm not here representing that organization today, I'm here in my personal capacity. While BC is an increasingly diverse province, our electoral map has not kept up with the rapidly changing demographics. When it comes to attracting people from other parts of the world, BC remains a top choice for understandable reasons. Last year, we were second in the country in terms of attracting new permanent residents settling here. Nearly 70,000 people came from other parts of the world and decided to make BC their new home. Before that significant influx of people, BC was already a diverse province with more than 36% of the population originating from other parts of the world. It's clear that voters in diverse communities want their government to reflect the diversity of our province. If we look at Vancouver and Surrey, 9 out of 20 MLAs reflect their communities of predominantly people of color that they represent. This is real progress, but there's still a lot of work to do to ensure fair and equal representation. Both of these cities, Vancouver and Surrey, the two largest and most diverse in the province, are currently underrepresented in terms of representation by population in the BC legislature. Over the past 10 years, only one constituency in Vancouver, Vancouver-Kitchener, has seen its population remain relatively flat. This also happens to be among the least diverse neighborhoods in that city. I myself, so you're aware, I live in East Vancouver. In the rest of Vancouver, constituency populations have increased by rates ranging from 4 to 37%. In Surrey, the constituency populations have increased by rates ranging from 5 to 57%. Moreover, all of the constituencies in Vancouver and Surrey are home to at least 55,000 people at a minimum in Vancouver West End, with that number rising in the largest constituency to 83,000 in Surrey South. By contrast, some rural communities, such as Cariboo North, are home to only 29,000 people. That essentially means that a vote in Cariboo North has more than twice the weight in terms of representation by population of most constituencies in Vancouver and Surrey. I believe this issue needs to be addressed by the Commission. One of the most important rights in any democratic society is the right to vote. I find it troubling when those rights are diminished in any way, let alone in a significant way. In their well-intentioned efforts to protect rural and regional representation, legislation passed by previous governments eroded the voting rights of urban voters, especially people of color. During this round of electoral boundaries changes, there is a real opportunity to address this issue and make our elections fundamentally fairer and more equitable in the province. As you noted, this can be done by increasing the number of districts in British Columbia. You're allowed to increase that by 6 under your mandate, as you're well aware. If you concentrate on urban areas where the populations have grown the most rapidly, as well as redistributing some of the existing districts to address some of these stark discrepancies as just described, this will go a long way to address these issues. Voters from diverse communities across the province have the right to an equally strong voice in BC's Legislative Assembly. By increasing the number of electoral districts to more fairly reflect population trends that show a substantial increased population density in our cities, you will be giving an opportunity for all voices to be heard more equitably in BC. That would be a tremendous public service to all British Columbians, and I thank you for listening to me today, and I thank you for your time and your work. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. You indeed have touched on many of the very key issues that the Commission will need to consider as we continue receiving input across the province and begin our deliberations prior to the preparing of our first round of proposals. Certainly the rapid growth of urban areas is something that we are well aware of. We've heard a number of presentations that have spoke to the need to reflect diversity and to ensure that that the diverse communities are reflected in the makeup of electoral districts. So thank you for emphasizing these messages to us, and thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
We do not have any other formal presentations listed on the sign-in sheet for this commission hearing. We have another individual here that I understand you may have some questions for the commission.
Yes, I have a question, yeah.
Please. Okay. Yes, please.
Thank you very much for doing this. Last one I was at was, was actually just across there about 7 years ago. Is that what it is? Every 7 years you do it?
Okay. It's after every second election.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway. This also supports what the past speaker just said about rep by pop, and that's one of your principles you're supposed to follow is rep by pop. I took the number of MLAs and GVRD versus the number of MLAs in the rural areas, And basically, in rural areas, MLA representation is roughly 1 per 50,000. In GVRD, it's 1 per 66,000. That amounts to a 25 to 30% shortfall, depending on what you use for your denominator. So to me, that's a, and that's a bias that I've noticed that's been sort of perpetuated. So I'm wondering what steps can you take to stop that? I know there's a growth factor, but I think maybe there's too much weight given to the geographical factor, especially now that we've improved connectivity. I think that the geographical areas, the size of it should not have as much weight. I'm not sure how much of a weight you give to that when you do your distributions of MLAs to population. The other thing is in Richmond in particular, there's plans for about, I don't know, maybe 20 apartments, 20 more blocks coming up, Richmond Mall and Lansdowne. So the question is, how do you anticipate, or how do you include population growth that you anticipate into your areas? How you do you have a formula? For the last several years, we know that there's been a big growth in Richmond, Vancouver, Surrey, et cetera. I don't think it's going to stop overnight. In fact, it'll probably get worse. So the question is, do you have a formula where you can at least take a portion of that growth every year and accommodate that into your formulas for updating your regions? The BC government does do budgets, and they must certainly do some projections on population growth. So to me, there would be a support for using a sort of a formula looking into the future on how to accommodate future growth into your areas as well. Otherwise, there's been a perpetual bias, and I don't see that getting better unless you do something like that. So thank you very much for having this session here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have certainly, again, touched on some of the challenges that the Commission will need to deal with as we do our rounds of public hearings to gather input and then begin our deliberations prior to our first report, which will be tabled with the legislature. I can speak to the fact that we do look at population growth figures. We work with BC Stats and have population growth estimates that are based on the last census, and likely we'll have the same based on this new census to consider in making our decisions. Obviously, we want to. It's better to have districts that are not out of date as soon as they are brought into effect. So we do look at population growth figures. Again, thank you for your questions. They're certainly part of the deliberation that we will be making as we continue with our efforts. I will like to ask now whether there's any other individual in the room who wishes to make presentation to the Commission. Well, thank you for the presentations and for the input that you have provided to us. We do appreciate hearing from citizens about issues that concern them and about issues that they feel the Boundaries Commission should take into account as we begin our deliberations. The audio recordings of your presentations will be available on our website next week. Again, I encourage you to submit your presentations to us on our website, www.bcedc.ca. Oftentimes, having that additional information will allow us to revisit material that's been presented to us to make sure that we haven't lost any of the nuances in the presentations themselves. If you have more information, sometimes I find for myself, I'll make a presentation and I'll go home and I'll sit and say, gosh, I should have mentioned these other 3 points. Again, if you have more information that comes to you that you would like us to consider, or you know of others that want to provide input to the Commission, again, our website is the best place to do that. Once more, thank you very much for your presentations and for your interest in the work of the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission. I now declare this public hearing closed. Thank you.